So there are no rats, and Tim Curry does not make an appearance in this one, I imagine.
Why would I spoil Tim Curry for you if he was going to show up?
Oh my God, I would have to get up and leave.
Doctor, how are you doing? So lovely to be with you, Doctor.
Oh my God. Please put Tim Curry in an episode.
I see you shiver with that anticipation. And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Yar, who be my doctor?
Who be your doctor indeed?
Yar!
I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I am your host, Cassie. Fun fact, did you know that voice, the like iconic pirate voice, was actually not a thing until the 1950s?
Interesting. Is it like a from like Viking helmet thing?
No. So the actor Robert Newton, who played Blackbeard in Disney's Treasure Island, just took his native accent, which there's a formal word for it. I, for the life of me, cannot say it, so I am not going to. But he is from a part of England that I can't remember right now. Some sources say Cornish accent.
Okay.
It's not Scorsese. There's another word that starts Scouse? With an S. Scouse. Thank
yeah.
you.
Scouse accent, yeah.
Yeah, so it's his normal Scouse accent that he just added extra flourishes to.
Okay.
But from that moment forward, any of the extra hard, yarr, hi yarr be matey, any of those types of like stereotypes that we that we prescribe to piratism.
So when I had called it a Viking helmet thing, you know how famously we all think of Viking helmets as having horns?
Yeah.
Viking helmets didn't have horns.
No.
The reason we think that is because one of the first operas that was about Vikings, they put horned helmets on them. So it's not that it was true. It was that it became such a piece of pop cultural ephemera that it has retroactively become true because that's just the mental image people have.
Yeah.
So that was what I meant, was that it happened in a thing that got popular enough that it became.
So it was simply one actor's interpretation of the role that then shaped how people.
Interesting.
Because there also isn't, we don't have any audio recordings of pirates back in the old pirate days.
We can't, ironically, we cannot pirate them.
And there's really no arguments against it because he didn't make up this accent. He just used his own speaking voice. Mm-hmm. So Robert Newton.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of a fun little detail.
Yeah, that's your fun fact because I have many of those. Every so often.
I wonder how close this pirate's accent will sound to Robert Newton's.
I'm sure it's probably better.
I mean,
I haven't seen that Treasure Island in a minute.
Yeah, for sure. But today we're looking at Series 6, Episode 3, The Curse of the Black Spot.
Oh, as if I didn't know this was the pirate episode.
Oh, were you just doing that voice just for fun?
I thought it, yeah. It was silly.
Just having some fun with it. So what might you be expecting from a Doctor Who pirate episode?
We haven't had a Black Plague episode.
We've not had a Black Plague episode.
So considering that this one is Curse of the Black Spot and that there is the strong theory that the Black Plague started from fleas that were carried by rats that were like stowaways on pirate ships.
Mm-hmm.
When the actual fact of the matter is the Black Plague was actually started by gerbils that hitched the ride on the Silk Trail. So it was both land and sea, just the FYI. But
I mean, you mentioned Treasure Island. That is what the Black Spot is from. The original Black Spot was something that Robert Louis Stevenson came up with for Treasure Island to denote a pirate that was to be killed by other pirates.
See, because my other experience with spots of many colors. There's an episode of HR Puff and Stuff where Jimmy contracts quote unquote red spotitis. And I think about red spotitis so much.
Yeah, I specifically remember it from Muppet Treasure Island because they call it a pirate's death sentence.
Yes, I think.
I think it was also in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah, it was.
But I think they gave it to him on a piece of paper. Is that right? It's been a while since I've watched those movies.
It also has been. I just have such a clear memory of one of them just going, the black spot.
Yeah. So that was first come up with for Treasure Island, and now it's just become a part of like pirate lore in much the same way the accent has.
Yeah.
As you have very kindly pointed out for us.
You're welcome for that fact. That was free, by the way.
So yeah, the black spot in this case is generally a mark that usually appears on the hand and is meant as a mark of death.
My favorite thing, complete tangent, complete side note. Mm-hmm. When I was practicing magic as a small child, there is a trick that you can do where you mark somebody with a black spot as well, where you like the magic spoiler alert, you get a little bit of like a lipstick or something on your thumb, like when the participant isn't looking. Mm-hmm. And so like you rub it on your hand, or like you like have a spot on your hand that you say like you're going to rub into the other person's hand. And so like as you're doing the secret magics, mm-hmm. you have them select like, oh, is it this hand or this hand? And they choose. And as you're like lifting up their hand to say like, okay, you're going to like put it in a fist now, that's when you mark them. And I always like to use black because I thought it was edgy and cool. So that I'm like, I gave people the curse of the black spot.
You're giving people a pirate's death sentence.
Yes.
So yes, this is the curse of the black spot. Now with just that little refresher, because I'm sure I think you knew that.
I did, deep in my soul. I just really wanted this to be a plague episode.
Plague episode, for sure.
I always want them to be plague episodes.
You just want everyone to die.
Yeah. The Black Plague went on for so long.
Right.
And happened during a time of war. So whenever I'm like, damn, like things are so bad, I'm like, they were worse.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Just a couple hundred years ago, everything was a lot worse.
Yeah.
Than even now.
We have modern plumbing and we aren't dying from dysentery. Most of us. I really wish that this doctor would dress up. I know he's not going to.
if he loses his leg and gets a peg leg.
Well, like, you know, we just did our fashion show episodes where we have a handful of doctors that do really like to dress for the part.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Smith is not one of those.
Yeah, I feel like what you mostly want is for the doctor to have a parrot.
I didn't until now.
Doctor Who? Doctor Who?
That's a hat.
That's a hook.
That's a TARDIS.
That's a pan. A Peter Pan.
Shrock.
Rock.
Hat.
Well, blast. Yeah, you are correct. The doctor does not get dressed up here.
What's this made out of? Glass.
Time.
Space. I want the doctor to have a familiar so bad. He's not going to. I also want the doctor to have a very wicked cool coat, which I also know he will not have mm-hmm. yet. I'm like positive that they will put Amy in some kind of disguise because, as you've aforementioned, she has red hair and is
I do think this episode, woman. I mean, not getting too deep into it, there was a long period of time where they had talked about, after Johnny Depp had gotten too toxic to keep making pirates movies, they had talked about rebooting the franchise with red as a pirate. And so the rumor had been that Karen Gillan was going to be the new star of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
When did they do over the redhead in the ride?
It was well after this episode, but I think that was 5 or 6 years ago at this point.
Okay.
I think you and I were definitely dating at the time, but this was,
yeah,
but it was a few years
ago. I couldn't remember if this happened while I was in college or not. Because that's when I would have had my Disney pass. Subtle flex. I could afford my own Disney pass when I was in school.
All right, well, let's get into the Cassie Profassi a little bit and in detail what's actually going to happen in this episode. So the Cassie Profassi today, I think you're going to have fun with at least this first question, and I'm curious if you might have fun with the second question, thinking about it a little bit.
Might.
We'll see how it goes. So in this episode, the pirates are running away from a fictional aquatic fantasy creature.
Oh, man.
So there's
two of those.
There's a few of those.
There's several of those, but there's two big ones.
Yeah, there are. I can give you.
Are you going to make me fucking guess which?
Of course I'm going to make you guess which.
Damn it. Okay. Can I get a hint?
I can give you a list.
Because it's either Cthulhu or a Kraken or sirens or like a megalodon.
Like Cthulhu. I will say Cthulhu's not aquatic. Cthulhu is from the spaces beyond. So I'll go ahead and throw him out for you. He's just squid-like in most of his depictions. But Cthulhu is meant to be from basically a dimension beyond ours. He's not really from the water. But you've got. Like you said, you've got the Kraken, you've got sirens, you've got mermaids, you've got Kelpies, because this is the UK, so the Celtic lore is on the table.
Don't you fucking bring Kelpies into this. They're innocent.
You've got, like, leviathans, giant turtles.
The camera zooms out. This has been taking place on the back of a giant turtle the whole time. Giant space whales.
A TARDIS turtle. TARDIS tortoise.
I'm gonna say,
can someone out there draw a TARDIS tortoise for us?
Hi, Zach. I don't know if you've met. I'm an artist.
you're also out there.
I'm right here though. Unless one of our dozens of listeners they want to do an art for us. I'm okay with that.
I don't know if I don't know if any of our fans are artistically inclined. That'd be a fun way to find out.
Are. Prove me wrong, audience. I am your adversary yet again. I'm going to say Kraken.
The Kraken? You think they're afraid from the Kraken being released?
Honestly, we have
talked a lot about Pirates of the Caribbean, so that would be.
Yeah, like the two really that are circling around is some kind of alien race that is like mermaid, siren, something like that. I feel like if you're doing a pirate episode, though, you're doing an injustice not including a Kraken.
A giant squid.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Cassie thinks the aquatic creature the pirates are running from is the Kraken. And then this boat. Has a stowaway.
This boat.
The stowaway is related to the captain in some way. Do you think it's his wife, his son, or his mistress?
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say daughter, and I'm super not correct in saying daughter. So I do think it is a woman.
Okay. If we're eliminating son, that means it's either wife or mistress.
Mistress is saucy. But I also don't know why she would be on the boat.
Yeah.
Whereas the wife would have a reason to, in that if she is afraid for her husband. Mm-hmm. This is one of those 50-50 moments.
Mm-hmm. Unless
I'm very incorrect and it is son.
What feels appropriate for Doctor Who?
I don't know. Who wrote this episode?
Let me pull it up here.
If it's not Moffat, then we do... Or it would not be surprising if Stephen Moffat wrote in another courageous, strong woman character.
This is written by a man by the name of Steve Thompson. You have not seen anything else written by him yet. His other Doctor Who credits come later on in the show.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that he's written that you might have seen, but I don't think so, because the only other show that I know he's written for is Sherlock. So... I would say that you have not seen anything else by him, but it is not Moffat specifically.
I'm truly stumped because I feel like I have gone to the point now where I'm making a case for each and every one of them in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I even had the thought of like the wife stowing away in the interest of trying to protect husband, but also the son being a stowaway with the interest of. Like
watching it going to work with his dad.
Yeah, because I'm also thinking like, oh, D&D, that's a very interesting setup for an NPC is to then have their son burst out and be like, I'm HT. So I, because I can't decide between the wife and the mistress, I might actually go back on myself and say it's the son.
Okay.
Because I, since I can't decide either one of those two, there is a third option. So I will default and go back on my own words and say it's the captain's son.
Alrighty then. Well, we will find out together if the pirates are being chased by the Kraken and if his son and if the captain's son is a stowaway as we watch The Curse of the Black Spot.
Because I'd rather be very wrong and not just like, oh, I was almost right.
Yarr!
That be the pirate's way.
Taking back your word, that be the pirate's way.
That be the coward's way. Yarr!
Are you lonely at sea? Spent one too many nights whispering sweet nothings to your parrot? Well, fret no more, ye lovelorn landlubber. Introducing Timber, the only dating app made for pirates by pirates. Whether ye be searching for a fine lass, a rugged rogue, or just a first mate to swab the deck with, Timber's got your back. I met me third wife on Timber. Her profile said, looking for a man who can hoist me sails and bury some treasure. And I knew she was the one. I did once get catfished by an actual catfish, though, so always be careful to check the profiles. Timber matches you based on your interests, whether it be pillaging, plundering, or preferring long walks on the beach counting your doubloons. So don't be a scurvy stricken singleton. Download Timber today and let your timbers be shivered.
And we are back from The Curse of the Black Spot. Yar!
I don't...
Shiver me timbers!
Is that like a reference from the episode that we just watched?
No, that's just me being an idiot.
I don't understand. What, like, it's silly. It's very silly. But doesn't really have anything to do.
You don't like my pirate voice?
I mean, it's like a 6 out of 10.
Fair enough. Well, speaking of ratings, what did you think about the episode, Cassie?
I give this like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. I do... Like, if we're going to rate it, which we've literally never done in any other episode, I suppose I can give this one a number.
If you really want to, I was just trying to do a segue.
I would really rather not.
Yeah, we don't have to actually, I'd actually do that. I don't think numbers are super interesting to talk about anyway.
No. Personally, I like the number 7 a lot, but that's just me.
I would give it a piece of 8 out of 10.
Whoa. Whoa.
Pieces of eight.
Good job.
Yeah. The Curse of the Black Spot. I remembered it not being very good from just like my memory of like at the time when I had first watched it. But I actually think this is pretty OK.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
This was one of the rare ones where I did still manage to take more than half a page of notes.
Yeah. Like it was like a lot. And part of it is that a lot of the first chunk of it is the episode kind of spinning. It's like doing the same thing where it's like the pieces will move to one side of the boat and then to the other side of the boat and then to the other side of the boat again.
Yeah.
Just because that's the nature of being on a boat running away from something.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of good little character moments, like when the son shows up and Captain Avery is so very like nervous about his son being there for a whole host of reasons. Not just one, for the safety of his son, two, that his son's going to see him as a pirate.
And three, that his son has left, or that the son is worrying the mother.
No, the mother is dead.
I know, but that's his first thing, is that you're making your mom scared. Like, your mom's going to worry about you until the son is like, no, I'm not.
A mom caught the plague.
She died of fever.
Yeah, which, you know,
maybe she's got cabin's fever.
Yeah. So Captain Avery is a real pirate captain. Some people have called him the Pirate King. Some people have called him the Arch Pirate.
My God, could you imagine being a warlock and having your patron be an arch pirate?
He is.
Hold on, Zach.
You're rethinking your whole character.
I've just been, I'm reworking him now.
He was a real pirate. He was a first mate in the Navy who's basically he and the crew, their paycheck took too long to the point where they grew unrestful with the captain, mutinied and became pirates.
Amazing.
And then I think it was 16 and somewhere in the 1690s, he disappeared. No one knows what happened to him. Obviously, he died at some point. He's not still alive.
What?
But no one knows exactly what happened to him. So that's the story. That was why he was picked for this episode, was the when the guy wrote it, he was looking through his son's book of pirates. And then it was this pirate who disappeared. And so he wrote the story about where he went,
which is kind of cool, because like that is the redeeming factor for me. Mm-hmm. Is I was very excited at the end of a sea captain turned pirate of the cosmos. I think that's so cool, because also all of his crew is then in a stable living stasis,
yeah,
on this alien ship that was marooned. Mm-hmm. I have more issues with the alien ship. Mm-hmm. Truthfully, I think that's kind of dumb. But I'm also like, I really love this bitching ending,
yeah,
of this pirate captain sailing off into particularly because he even justifies, or he makes a very good argument for himself as a captain, saying a ship's a ship.
Yeah.
So truly, there, it's not like, I don't understand these things. Yeah, it's beyond me. It's just, no, it's navigation. That's
a compass, a telescope.
Yeah, that's steering. Like, yeah. This is a fucking, I get it. I understand. Mostly because that's nine times out of a ten. That's my approach to jobs, where I'm like, yeah, that's the boss. That's who I talk to if I have issues. Here is where we have snacks. A job is a job. Yeah, customer service is customer service, no matter what package you want to put it in.
Yeah, I also like that.
I like having this captain who is so confident in himself as a captain, as first mate, mm-hmm, as a navigator, to say, yeah, I can manage anything. This is not a wooden man-made ship. This is made out of steel and parts I don't fully understand. Mm-hmm. But meh. It does the same thing.
But I be carrying the confidence of a mediocre white man.
No, very, very strong intellectual white man. So I liked that. I liked that particular ending for Captain Avery.
Yeah.
So, so very much. The hang up that I have with this episode is everything to do with the alien ship and the siren herself.
Okay. Go on with explain some of that for me.
Just the term protein circuitry. How fucking oh?
I mean, a protein circuit just sounds like beef jerky.
Protein circuit sounds like what I would do if I'm trying to get through a whole bag of snacks before anybody finds out that I have it. Protein circuitry is me reaching into a bag of beef jerky and eating it all before dogs find out what I have.
Hey, bro, you hitting the gym today? Yeah, I'm doing a whole protein circuit. Gonna
like, or you going to the market and getting your like powdered protein shake, your tofu, your red meat, your lunch meat. That feels like running a protein circuit. Man, not something that a...
Now I'm picturing like a store that's dedicated just to selling meat that's called Protein Circuit City. I was proud of that.
That's it. That's the bit. Good job.
I totally squished the bit again. Oops.
You squished your own bit, though.
Fair.
I was yes-anding it and doing a really wonderful, awesome job. And you just chose to not go with it, and you know that's okay. They can't all be bangers.
we can't all be Cassie and tell perfect jokes.
Yeah, no, we can't. But it was the specificity of how this siren / nurse entity orb gained sentience and took on a human form.
I don't even think it was that she gained sentience. I think it was she was just a hologram for the nurse program that they had. That was the way I perceived it.
then that's the that's my issue.
Yeah.
What the fuck does any of that mean? Because I was also like, there was a half-baked part of me that when you first see her, I went, her dress sucks. If you have, I don't care. I don't care if you're supposed to be an alien. If you are an alien.
Dress better.
Yeah, basically. Because I was like, this just looks odd. Like, this looks like material that my mom has a skirt made out of it. It's like a, it's these very fine pleats. Mm-hmm. This, for hers, I think was in a metallic because it caught the light different. Mm-hmm. But it, if you're a siren, I would expect it to look cooler. Her dress just kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me at by the end of the episode where I realized like there's a non-zero chance that they just did not know how to interpret a siren that is also a nurse, mm-hmm. that is also a hologram.
There was a few things in it where like it's not there's nothing big, but there's a few little details where I just needed it to be more present. Like the I commented on it while we were watching it that these are the cleanest pirates I have ever seen.
I really have no patience for clean pirates
because it just felt.
Which also, like, in defense of that, 9 times out of 10, when production companies are doing shoots like this, they're pulling costumes out of their own warehouses, and it costs money to dirty them up.
Yeah,
like, so there's a non-zero chance that the warehouse that they have these particular costumes in don't have pre-distressed things. And because, for lack of a better term, this episode does not take place in bright spaces.
Yeah.
So you can almost forgive the fact that these pirates are so clean because you are not, it's not in the middle of the day.
Yeah. It's also that like where the boat is, there's no like background ever. Like,
no. I mean,
there's no mist or fog rolling over the water. So all you really get is just the dark, empty sky. And so it's just kind of boring to look at the back. So, but it's all like, that's not, none of these things are like important to the story, but they do.
They add in a little bit of stuff just by having all of the talisman hanging around the boat.
Yeah.
And having the pentagram painted on it.
Yeah.
Which does do a certain amount of visual storytelling in that you can tell that these men are doing everything in their power to protect themselves, even though all of these are to no avail.
Mm-hmm.
They just add visual noise against, like you said, a very dark background in water that has a aqua blue light beaming out of it that is supposed to be this siren.
Yeah.
The other issue I had was her means of transport.
Coming through reflections.
Because my thing was like, okay, her coming through water. That makes sense. We're on a ship. There's water everywhere. There's water in the ship in forms of barrels. And that makes puddles sense to me. Yeah, puddles. Like, that makes sense to me. But it was the second that the doctor said, it's not water she's going through. It's reflections. And I went, this is some stupid doctor bullshit.
Which
I'm mad now.
It's funny because that was the one thing where I was like, oh, this actually did feel like a Cassie vibe. With your like crunchy granola superstitious stuff, because the whole premise of it being the reflections is that you ever look in a mirror and you feel like you're peering into a whole other world. There's something about that felt very much like you've looked in a mirror and you've been like, you're not me. You're so mega Cassie.
It's the times where I'm looking through a mirror that is up against. You can keep this part in for clarification. If you so choose.
Okay.
Katie and Liam have mirrors on either side of their scary little hallway that leads to their bathroom. And I always imagine, because when you have a reflection of a mirror in another mirror, you get that like infinium. I'm sure that there is an actual word for it. And I always imagine looking at my reflection in one of those other far off distant reflections and imagine it waving back to me. And so I can't look too long because I'm so worried that that's going to happen and that's how I'm going to transport to another timeline, even though I'm very convinced that that's already happened for me several times.
God, I would love to transport to another timeline right now.
Well, it's the number of times where I've been like, damn, I lost this thing that's very important to me. And then it just appears like months later. I'm like, oh, cool. That was me transporting to another timeline. I'm still waiting for that to happen with my wallet. And I'm manifesting that every day.
One day you'll just wake up and it'll be like, it's here in the car.
Yeah, no, I keep waiting for that every time I go into my car. I'm like, it's going to be there. I just know it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the story as a whole doesn't bother me too much there. I mean, there's a few obviously like Doctor Who-y explanation for things. That's your problem is it's Doctor Who-y. Yeah. But yeah, when they get to like the, you know, it's a ship in a parallel dimension that's occupying the same space.
Yeah.
Like that's I understand that being silly to you. But to me, that's just that is what Doctor Who is. It is a little silly, but it's also that's how you resolve these otherwise interesting set pieces. I do.
Interesting is a bold word to use, but OK.
I mean, I did like the exploring, like trying to take such a fantasy story like the sirens that the pirates would tell legends about and trying to find a sci-fi spin on it.
Favorite thing about all of those stories is there's no documentation for it, but a lot of people believe that when pirates first saw manatees, that's what they interpreted to be mermaids.
It does create a very funny image of if you replace the siren with a manatee in a dress.
I would have preferred that so much more.
Although I will say,
manatees are so fucking cute. I love them so much.
I will say the actress they picked to play the siren, though, does look like a fae creature.
Oh, she absolutely does. Like, she's both round and pointy. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, it's just a very like, I don't understand how your face is shaped that way.
Like, good for you. Cool.
Yeah, it's a very interesting look.
I knew a girl that had very similar face,
mm-hmm.
and she frightened me because she was the type of person to know like six different languages too.
Oh wow.
And I was like, you are not from this planet. Something happened. You're from somewhere else.
You know too many things.
Yeah. No, I was like, this is not your first time here. This is, you are a time traveler. You are infinite. I don't trust you.
Yeah. I only know that actress from one other thing. I think you've seen it too. She's from the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. She was Dr. Parnassus's daughter.
Huh.
That was set to be sold away to the devil. In that movie. Honestly, I like the actors across the board. I think they all do a pretty good job. I think Avery, the guy playing Avery, does a good balance of playing ruthless pirate and loving father.
It's a very good balance of like, I do genuinely believe everything he's saying.
Yeah.
He's doing a very good job at being a captain.
Yeah, he's doing a very good job of being a captain. His crew all feel sufficiently like pirates, but in the sense that they are very loyal to their captain, but if pushed just a little bit, they will drop him like a sack of hammers.
Yeah.
They are loyal to his captain as long as their captain are useful to them. And they do a good job of that. And they pick people who also their like look really rides a line between like good hearted and mean spirited.
Yeah.
So that it does a very good job of balancing that out.
I liked upon meeting this pirate ship for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor says yo ho ho.
Oh,
feels very similar to like tourists, like white tourists that go to Japan and go konnichiwa.
I don't think they ever say it in the episode proper, but his ship is called the Fancy.
Well.
Yes, Arch Pirate Avery, Arch Pirate Captain Avery, and his ship, the Fancy.
Well, what an interesting name.
Yeah. Hmm. I thought you might enjoy that.
I did like him right out the gate referring to Amy as their doxy.
I will admit, I don't know what that stands for.
So doxy is a term used specifically for like mistress.
Oh, okay.
In that time.
I wonder if it's short for something.
I don't believe it is.
My brain goes immediately to Dexy, which is short for dextroamphetamine. Like it's the street drug version of Adderall.
It's just a word meaning a lover or mistress. an archaic term for prostitute.
Interesting.
Oh my God, a synonym is chippy. I know what word I'm gonna start using.
There was one explanation that I really liked from the siren to nurse translation that they did, where they had said that her singing was a form of anesthesia. But which at first feels silly, but then you go back and you remember that when she's singing, all the men are like, she's so pretty. She's the prettiest singer.
I love her. I'm gonna jump off the boat for her.
It's yeah, so really the fact that they that the actors all chose to play it like they were David drunk. After they were David after dentist. that felt very fun to me. That's one of those like retroactive. Oh, that all makes sense and makes every situation way funnier.
Yeah, I did like that for but a moment. They gave the doctor a captain hat.
Yes,
or for a pirate hat.
Yeah. And then Amy also took a pirate hat, a sword and a coat for herself. When I'd mentioned that Karen Gillan was in talks to lead the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, that picture got reused a lot for those articles.
She's a bit.
I would watch those. I would watch Karen Gillan as a pirate.
We have seen Karen Gillan as a pirate. She's just in space and bald and
as not bionic. A space pirate.
Yeah, she is.
A pirate of the Caribbean.
I feel like Nebula's a pirate.
Right. I agree that she's a pirate. I mean, I want to see her as not a space pirate. I want to see her as a pirate of the Caribbean.
Well, there are other places where pirates go that are not just the Caribbean. There's, you know, the Atlantic. There's the Pacific.
There's the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, there's Indian Ocean. I'm still confused as to why the TARDIS was unable to land in that spot, but couldn't move from that spot.
So they had established that the ship was on a ship was existing on a different plane of existence, basically. And so the TARDIS had landed on the plane of existence that was the other ship. That's why it
but they still were able to walk out of it on the pirate ship.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those. It's one of those like you
don't think into it.
You don't need to think about it too hard. It's okay. Like these things existed in two places at the same place in different periods of existence, so you could walk down to one and then out in the other. That's why that when the TARDIS disappeared, it didn't disappear with TARDIS sounds, because that was it shifting back to the previous dimension.
I guess if the TARDIS is a ship of both space and time.
Yeah, and we've seen it go to other planes of existence too, like when it went to that parallel Earth.
Yeah,
like it just does that sometimes, because the TARDIS does what the TARDIS does.
We got another appearance from our mystery eye patch lady.
Yes, we did. This time the latch was inside a couple planks of wood.
Yeah, you're doing fine. Okay. Thank you, mystery eye patch lady.
You're not doing fine. You've lost an eye.
And you also don't seem to be seen by anyone else.
Right? That part does seem most disturbing, doesn't it? That she just keeps showing up for Amy specifically.
Yeah, didn't love that.
Speaking of Amy and our running season mysteries, I forgot to talk about this one in the last episode, but at the very end of this one, the doctor's looking at a screen that shows Amy as being both pregnant and not pregnant.
That just feels like the writers don't know what they're going to do with that yet.
They're keeping their options open.
Yeah.
That is
because I didn't
funny.
Interpret that as both being and not being pregnant. I took that as the TARDIS is unaware.
You're taking it as timey-wimey bullshit?
Yeah, that to me seems like we have an idea for something that we might want to do, but we don't know if we can or if we should. So we're just going to leave this ambiguous and have that be...
When we decide, then we can write it into the show.
Yes. Which feels like a cop-out, but that is how I interpreted that. Also, if we're on the verge of wrap up, I do have a favorite moment.
Okay, what's your favorite moment?
When they're going through and throwing aside all of the treasure,
mm-hmm.
and the captain says, "That's the treasure of the Mogul of India."
And the doctor goes, "Oh, good. I thought it was yours."
Yeah. It's like this is very. It felt like that clip that I keep seeing that you showed me first, of the. It's the one that somebody did in Super Mario Party where it's Bowser holding on to a thing
trying to. It's baby Bowser like reaching for a ball because it's one of the Mario at the Olympic Games games And so the ideas are supposed to be sorting balls. And so Bowser's like supposed to be handing off a ball to baby Bowser, but he keeps going, better not.
It's not Olympic Games. It is a Mario Party game.
It's a Mario Party. Okay.
Yeah. Because Olympic Games are specifically Olympic games.
Okay. I thought it was just.
And if the there is an off. Olympic game that is all about ball sorting, I need to know what skill you have to have if that's a much better fit for that Australian. What was it? Not beatboxer.
Oh, break dancing?
Yeah.
Breaking.
That's what she thought she was getting into.
She had signed up for ball sorting.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
But they went, oh, this actually doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's very much that. That reminded you because I think the caption on it had been like, anytime the British government comes across an artifact and offering and the
natives want it back.
And the natives want it back. Yeah.
I just really like to remind myself that in the British Museum, half of the stuff that they have is stolen from native lands. It's nice when people are aware of their country's shortcomings. Not like us. We're great here.
We're doing just fine.
I love everything that's happened so far. Big advocate of that.
One lone tear running down each of our cheeks. But overall, fine episode. Like, it wasn't.
I also like in this one, Rory brought up again that he's a nurse. It's like, I know how to save myself.
Yeah, I can also, as I'm laying here, I will walk you through CPR. And you know what? Sure enough, she did chest compressions, which is more than some shows ever do. Some shows just do the breathing thing. They don't do the proper, like,
yeah.
Ha, 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 stay alive, stay alive.
That's my favorite song to do that to because it makes so much sense. There was another one that somebody said that you could use.
I know that the British use a children's theme song called Nelly the Elephant.
Welp. Well, because another one, too, that you can use is Another One Bites the Dust,
mm-hmm.
which is a little less optimistic.
But at the very least, it gives you a pleasant surprise at the end of it, as opposed to an unpleasant one. You were emotionally prepared for it if you do Another One Bites the Dust.
I suppose. But overall, I can't say that this is one of my favorite episodes, but considering how much I love Pirate. I really like Pirate. It is a decent enough Doctor Who pirate episode that I am content with it.
Yeah, I had seen when I was doing a bit of reading on it, I had seen that they had wanted to do it as a chance for the cast and crew to just sort of like have some fun. And I would say that probably succeeds.
Yeah, they gave Amy a freaking sword.
Yeah, like it's not meant to be. It's not doing high art. It's not trying to be as like captivating as Blink or Benson and the Doctor, but it's just having a good time. It's just like, we're going to do just a really simple Doctor Who story set on a pirate ship.
It's not a sophisticated story, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Because we've seen other sophisticated Doctor Who stories and they kind of suck.
Yeah. This one, it gets the job done. It does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
It is a nice hamburger
It is a decent meal.
Well, that's really all we had to say about this one. So with that, we'll have to see what happens next week, because next week we will have. I was so excited about the next episode like 6 months ago. And who doggy have the last several months.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Is this the one written by he who should not be named?
Yeah.
The one that I was also so very excited for.
We'll address that on the next episode.
Of who is my doctor?
Of who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Yar, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Patient. Bet you thought I forgot to finish it. Well, I'm a good theater kid, which means I never leave a good Rocky Horror reference incomplete. Hope you all are doing well out there. I know times are stressful given the general state of things, and I hope we're bringing just a little bit of joy to your corner of the world. If we did, be sure you're subscribed to this podcast wherever you're listening right now. If you'd like to talk to us, you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WimDPod. That's WIMDPOD. If you'd really like to show us some love, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. So if you're interested in hearing us talk about the Doctor's Wife right now, come on over and pledge as little as $1 a month to get access. Special thanks to our $5 patrons, Andrew Blewett and David Gansel. Be good to each other, everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.